Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the far side of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in the flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that the bush was on fire and it did not burn up, so that Moses thought, I will go over and see this strange sight, why the bush does not burn up. When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God said to him from within the bush, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, Here I am. Do not come any closer, God said. Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. Then he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. At this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. The Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of the land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanites and the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. And now the cry of the Israelites have reached me, and I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now go. I am sending you to the Pharaoh to bring my people to the Israelites out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, Who am I that I should go to the Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? And God said, I will be with you, and this will be a sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain. And Moses said to God, Suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, The God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they ask me, What is his name? Then what shall I tell them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. God has also said to Moses, Say to the Israelites, The Lord, the God of the fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever, the name by which I am to be remembered from generation to generation. Go, assemble the elders of Israel and say to them, The Lord, the God of the fathers, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, appeared to me and said, I have watched over you and have seen what has been done to you in Egypt. And I have promised to bring you up out of your misery into Egypt, into the land of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites, a land flowing with milk and honey. The elders of Israel will listen to you. Then you and the elders are to go to the king of Egypt and say to them, The Lord, the God of the Hebrews, has met with us. Let us take a 3-day journey into the desert to offer sacrifices to the Lord our God. But I know that the king of Egypt will not let you go unless a mighty hand compels him. So I will stretch out my hand and strike the Egyptians with all the wonders that I will perform among them. After that, he will let you go. And I will make the Egyptians favorably disposed toward this people, so that when you leave, you will not go empty-handed. Every woman is to ask her neighbor and any woman living in her house for articles of silver and gold and for clothing, which you will put on your sons and daughters, and you will plunder the Egyptians.
It's a very important message that I have to bring to you because it has to do with understanding clearly what God has given us, and then what God has given me personally in terms of all kinds of gifts. I would think that every one of us would agree that we have been given much. Just in comparison to the Haitians, one of the poorest places on the face of the earth, we've been given so much. No matter how hard it is for us to pay bills each month, we have so much. As Christians, we've been given the gift of the Holy Spirit, who came into our lives at the moment we received Christ as our Savior. And there are others who are still under the bondage of voodoo, under the bondage of sin, living in darkness, confused, not knowing how to really make their way through life. Beyond that, we've been given gifts of the Holy Spirit. As Christians, the Bible makes it very clear that all of us have been given special spiritual gifts. Probably more than one. You may not know what your spiritual gift is. But as you minister within the context of a body like this, closely with people, you begin to realize what God has gifted you with and how your contribution to the body helps others in their growth and development in Christ. I want to talk to you for the next few weeks about the gifts God has given us and how we use them. Today, I'd like to talk to you about gifts in general, not your spiritual gifts necessarily, but what God has given you. And I want to do this by looking at the life of one Moses and try to draw some parallels between his life and yours and mine. It's going to startle you at how closely those parallels can be drawn. So I ask you to please bear with me for the next few minutes as I try to draw some of these parallels out. Our reading that Bob brought was from Exodus chapter 3, Moses and the burning bush. The story with Moses really begins a little ways before that. In Exodus chapter 2, there's this edict from the king. The Israelites were growing too numerous and powerful. The Egyptians, who were their taskmasters, had to do something about this. And so they decided to kill all the newborn baby boys. They had a couple midwives who were to do this. Instead of delivering, if it's a baby boy, kill it. But it says in the scriptures in chapter 2 that they feared God too much to do that. They feared God so much that they disobeyed the king's edict. And he pulls them aside and says, "Hey, what's going on? I hear they're still being born." And they make some excuse. "Oh, these women are too vigorous. They give birth before we can even reach them." But in reality, they feared God. And because of that, God blessed these midwives with large families themselves. Well, I'd like you to think, first of all, the life of Moses, that God showed his grace to Moses by making him beautiful. It says in chapter 2, verse 2, "The woman conceived and bore a son, and when she saw that he was beautiful, she hid him for 3 months." Now imagine if he had been ugly. That's how it sounds like it reads to me, that this beauty was the thing that saved him. How many moms here had ugly kids? Raise your hand. I don't want to ask fathers that because they'll be more honest. But I think you women would all agree with me unanimously that I had the most beautiful babies. And we have all these babies in the nursery. Go find an ugly one. If you do, don't tell the mother about it. There are no ugly babies. They are beautiful. God blessed him with such captivating beauty that when his parents saw him, they said, "We can't throw this one back. We're going to keep him." And they hid him for as long as they could, 3 months. He's starting to get fussy and whiny. And eventually, the stress and anxiety is so great, they can't keep him quiet. They realize they've got to do something with this child. And so they make this basket. And they stick him in the reeds in the Nile River. And Miriam, his older sister, goes and watches as the wicker basket floats down the river. So God gives Moses beauty. God gives Moses a loving and courageous family that was willing to also contradict the king's edict and hide him until they could hide him no longer. You know, I think of the conditions in which he was born and then where God eventually takes him as deliverer of all Israel. And I think these are not the ideal conditions that I would have put in place for one who would become so great. And you may relate to that yourself and say, I don't really have the perfect home life. It's not what I anticipated. Things from our past have haunted us. And yet, God uses even those conditions that seem less than ideal. In fact, He uses the rough conditions of life to hone future leaders. Then notice that God showed pity upon Moses. Who? God showed pity on Moses through Pharaoh's daughter. She's out walking along the Nile with her maidens. And she sees this wicker basket over in the bulrushes. And she's curious. She says, go bring that to me. They do. Open it up. And inside is this crying baby. Now, she might have said, oh, a whiny crying baby, shut it up and get rid of it. My father had said that they were supposed to be killed. Take this away. Take it to the guards and let them dispose of this child. But instead, God planted in her heart this compassion. A crying baby drew her to Him. And she took him to her own family. There's Miriam walking along beside. Moses' sister happened to be there. And she makes a suggestion. Shall I go and get a nursemaid for the baby? Good suggestion. Do that. So where does she go? She runs home to Moses' mother. Moses' mother and father had given him away, and now God gives Moses back to her. And she takes the child back into her own home, now under the protection of the princess. And she nurses her own child until he's weaned. And then he's taken back. God gives Moses unique opportunities. The child grew and she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter. And he became her son. And she named him Moses because she said, I drew him out of the water. And so she adopts him, goes through all the legal processes required for adoption. And now he's under the protection of the princess herself. Don't you think anyone's going to touch Moses at this point? He's raised right up within the courts of Pharaoh. And his mother and stepmother are there to take care of him. I ask you, is God able to orchestrate the events of your life and mine? Is He not in control of all the circumstances, those that we would look back upon in our childhood and say, oh, you don't understand what a rough childhood I had. God was there. He understands. And He's going to use that, not for your harm, but for your progress. So then, as he's being raised up within the courts of Pharaoh, God decides at one point He's going to show Moses the injustices being done to His people. And it says that it came about in those days when Moses had grown up that he went out to his brethren and looked on their hard labors. He went out. He decided, I'm not going to stay in this comfort zone and the protection of Pharaoh's courts. I'm going to go out and see. He's grown up. He's probably now aware of his true identity. A Hebrew. He wants to see what's really happening. He's heard that they're being oppressed, but he wants to see with his own eyes. And when he goes out, what does he find? But an Egyptian beating on a Hebrew, ruthlessly beating him. Moses looks this way and that and decides he's going to do away with the Egyptian, which he does, and buries him in the sand. Took justice into his own hands. He knew that the king wouldn't care whether or not the Hebrews lived or died, but he did. There was a connection. And so he brought justice upon the Egyptian. Now, I ask you to look out into the world around you and see what those injustices are. What is it that God wants to show you? Maybe it's that there are those in another land that need your help and mine. And some of the wealth and some of the help and encouragement and strength that God has given us. What are we going to do about it? Certainly we're not going to go kill the Egyptian. But there are constructive ways to do away with injustice. Zechariah 7:9, we read, "Thus says the Lord of hosts, dispense true justice and practice kindness and compassion, each to your brother." And so God showed Moses the injustices, and then God gave Moses this refuge in a family. After he kills the Egyptian, he realizes that Pharaoh's now really angry with him. And it says that Pharaoh's going to seek Moses' life. So he heads out to the desert and he goes as far and fast as he can run. And ends up in the backside of the desert, runs into these girls trying to feed or water their sheep. And he protects them and finds that the eldest, named Zipporah, is a very attractive young woman. And her dad, Jethro, invites Moses to come to his tent after he'd learned of how Moses had delivered his daughters. And he gives Zipporah to him as his wife. There Moses continues to live, shepherding the flock of Jethro for 40 years, as long as he had been in Egypt. Now, he is in the backside of the desert. Wasted years? Empty years? Years of desert? No. Years of preparation. God is preparing Moses. He's learning to take care of sheep. Those hands that had been so gentle and tender, without calluses or blisters, were now carrying lambs on their back and a staff in his hand and beating off wolves and lions and all the things that shepherds did. Defending. He's growing strong on the backside of the desert. And God is preparing him to shepherd a people through the wilderness. But Moses doesn't know this. He's just doing the shepherd thing. Peaceful with his own family. Until God gives Moses a divine encounter. The angel of the Lord appeared to him in a blazing fire from the midst of the bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, but it was not being consumed. Moses is very curious. He says, I gotta see what this is all about. It's not a natural looking phenomena. And so he turns aside. He says, I must see this bush that is not being burned up. And God speaks to Moses. He calls him by name out of the midst of this burning bush. God calls Moses. Does God know who Moses really is? Absolutely. Even though he's hidden on the backside of the desert, God had followed him there. Because our God is omnipresent, right? Everywhere at the same time. All knowing, there's nothing that escapes his attention. And God is following Moses. He'd orchestrated this event too. And now Moses is 80 years old. 40 years on the backside of the desert. 40 years in Egypt. He's an old man, right? Well, I don't want to offend some of you who are near 80. I'm not too far away myself. But listen. The question is he too old to be used by God? He's just getting warmed up, folks. He's 80 years young. Or are some too young to be used by God? No. We talked about Josiah, 8 years old when he came to the throne, and what tremendous changes he brought about in the life of Israel. God uses people of all ages. Don't count yourself out because you say, I'm too old or I'm too young. God has been preparing Moses for ministry even before Moses knew God personally. How does God reveal himself to Moses? He says, "Do not come near here. Remove your sandals from your feet, for the place on which you're standing is holy ground." He also said, "I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob." Then Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. Now, understand something. You need to have a divine encounter with God. Every one of us. A personal divine encounter. Not speaking out of the center of a burning bush necessarily, but coming to the foot of the cross and through Jesus Christ accessing the Father before you can be used by God. Without that, there's no basis. Understand that God is holy. And because he is holy, because he is awesome, beyond compare, he deserves our faithful service. Only a God like this is worthy to be served. Moses realizes this now. God, you are amazing. You are holy. And then God reveals his plan to Moses. He says, "I have surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt and have given heed to their cry because of their taskmasters. For I am aware of their sufferings. So I have come down to deliver them from the power of the Egyptians and to bring them up from the land to a good and spacious land, to a land flowing with milk and honey." He was going to deliver them from bondage to the promised land. And that's what he does for all of us. That's the gospel in a nutshell. He delivers us from the bondage of sin to the kingdom of God. Is that not right? That's the message that we have been set free by and entrusted with. God then gives Moses a mission. Okay, he's established something of a relationship. And he gives him a mission. "Therefore, come now, and I will send you to Pharaoh, so that you may bring my people, the sons of Israel, out of Egypt." Now, here's the clincher. God singles Moses out for the job of delivering the people. Mission is what makes the call personal in the Christian life so exciting. You can sit back in your comfort zone on the backside of the desert for a long time. And you know what? You're not going to see God really work in your life or use you. But once you respond to his call and you take off all the stops and say, "I surrender all and I will go," then the excitement begins. The Bible tells us that each one of us has received a gift from God according to Christ's personal prerogative. What's the point of all this? The point is that you and I have been shown much grace and mercy in very profound ways. And if you were to stop and evaluate your life and look back, you would understand, as I have, that the events of my childhood, of those years growing up, all the hardships I've been through, the mistakes I have made, whether it be murdering the Egyptian or doing something just as bad, God uses it all up until this very moment. And that he is seeking a personal relationship with me because he wants to use me, not just save me, but he wants my life to count for him, to make a change and a difference in this world. I ask you, what's God doing with you? Have you responded to the call of God? Can you look back in your life and instead of complaining about your childhood or all the hardships you've been through, say, "You know, God was orchestrating all those events. And he's made me who I am and he's gifted me as I am because he's preparing me for something. I never understood this. And my preparation wasn't college, but you know, my preparation was that job. My preparation was that hardship I endured, was that health issue that he brought me through, was my children and the difficulties that I had with a wayward son or daughter." God prepares us through all the events of our lives for a mission. Now, next week, I would like to talk about Moses' response to God. Very important. Moses was a reluctant leader, just like some of us are. But God works with him, and God uses him. I'd like you to evaluate your own life this week. What is it that God has given me? How can I use it for him? Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you and praise you for your love and grace. We thank you that you have given us so much, our families, our friends, our salvation through Jesus Christ, the hope of heaven, wonderful inheritance to become sons and daughters of the living God, to belong to you and to have your name stamped on our foreheads. Lord, what wonderful privileges we have. We thank you, Lord, that every good gift and every perfect gift comes down from you, Father of lights, and that there is no shifting shadow, no variation in your character, that you are always good all the time. I pray that you would stir our hearts, Lord, to think and to contemplate on what we have seen, what we have heard, and how you can use AFibs and you can use trips to Haiti to prepare us for what you want to use us for. We just commit ourselves to you in Jesus' name. Amen.